We're going to be talking about the Great Commission, but maybe not in a way that you think this morning. I'm not going to be encouraging you to go and fulfill the Great Commission. I think we've had a lot of encouragement to do that over the last week. But what I want to do is I want to look at the necessary precondition or prior condition that it needs to take, that you need to have, to fulfill the Great Commission. Some prerequisites to fulfilling the Great Commission. So if you turn in your Bible today to Matthew 28, we're going to be looking at Matthew 28, and we're going to be looking at, right now I'm going to read 18 through 20, so let's look at those verses. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. And it reads this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now here we have the Great Commission, right? We all know that. This is where Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples. And then that extends to us today. We just had a missions conference all about that, challenging us to go and make disciples of the nations. Well, here he tells them how to make disciples. First of all, by baptizing, right? By teaching. And then by doing all these things in his power. But what we don't often think about is we don't often think, when we come to this passage, what are the prerequisites to fulfilling the Great Commission? How are these disciples even here in the first place to hear this command? What was the condition of their lives so that they were even able to handle hearing this command, this Great Commission command? What were some of the prerequisites to fulfilling the Great Commission? So we're going to be talking about that this morning. Now, dictionary.com, which is a great resource, I love it. You just type in a word, boom, gives you a definition right there. Dictionary.com defines prerequisite as, quote, required or necessary as a prior condition. Required or necessary as a prior condition. Now, I think you understand this, don't you? The word prerequisite. Now, it was prerequisite this morning that you wake up before you got out of bed, right? It was prerequisite this morning that you got dressed before you left the house. It was prerequisite this morning that you put the key in the ignition before you started the car and drove off. So those are prerequisites. Some of you may remember back to college, or you're still in college. Prerequisites, you know, you had to take this class before you could take another one. Say, you had to take underwater basket weaving level 1 before you could get to underwater basket weaving level 2. Is that correct? So we understand what prerequisites are. So what I'm asking today, what I want to explore today, is, are there requirements to fulfilling the Great Commission? Is there a prior condition necessary before making disciples? And I'm going to answer that yes. And we're going to look at 3 prerequisites to fulfilling the Great Commission. And interestingly enough, as God would have it, the Spirit of God, in how he revealed his word, they are right there in verses 16 and 17 of chapter 28. So why don't you look at those? 16 and 17 of chapter 28 in Matthew. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." So we see in this passage the first prerequisite to fulfilling the Great Commission is that you must be continuing. You must be continuing. Did you see it there in the verses? Did you notice in verse 16, it says, the 11 disciples? The 11 disciples. Doesn't that hit you like a load of bricks? All through the Gospels, you hear the 12 disciples, the 12 disciples, the 12 disciples. And then you hear this after the resurrection, it says the 11 disciples. And it hits you like a load of bricks because you think it should say 12. Well, as I mentioned, this scene is after the resurrection. Jesus has already died for the sins of people like you and me. He's died and he's been raised, and now he's appearing to people over this 40-day period before he goes back to heaven. But what is peculiar about this meeting is that there are 11 disciples. Who's missing? Judas is missing. Judas is missing. He has gone to his own place. You see, in order to fulfill the Great Commission, a prerequisite is that you must be continuing. You got to be continuing in your faith. He was not continuing. It's kind of like some of my friends that I remember in high school. They would make a profession of faith and then, you know, maybe be on fire for the Lord a little bit of time. And now I hear of them, and where are they? They're leading an immoral life. They don't love the Lord. They don't go to church. Don't want anything to do with Christ. What happened to those people? What happened to my friends? What happened to Judas? Well, they weren't continuing. You must continue in your faith if you want to fulfill the Great Commission and make disciples. Did they lose their faith? Did Judas lose his faith? Did my friends in high school who are no longer walking with the Lord lose their faith? Well, no. They just start proving that they never really had true faith. It says in 1 John that they went out from among us so that it would be evident when they went out from among us that they were not of us. So we know that those who don't continue in their faith never really had true faith, and they don't have any possibility of fulfilling the Great Commission, the great call on our lives as believers to propagate the gospel. So the first prerequisite to fulfilling the Great Commission is that you must be continuing. You must be continuing. It's kind of like in John 8:31. In John 8:31, it says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And literally, the Greek word there, to hold to my teaching, is to remain, or to continue, or to abide. If you want to fulfill the Great Commission, you have to remain. You have to profess your faith and possess your faith. Be continuing. Be continuing. Well, Paul also says in Colossians 1:21, he says this, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He, Christ, has reconciled you," or He, God, the Father, "has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation." And here's a big word, "if you continue in your faith." So do you want to fulfill the Great Commission? You want to see people made disciples? And you've got to continue in your faith. Continue in your faith as those 11 did. They were able to hear the Great Commission and fulfill it. If you do not continue in your faith, you will go the way of Judas and prove that you had false faith. So, continuance is the proof of reality if you want to fulfill the Great Commission. That's the first one. The second prerequisite to fulfilling the Great Commission is you must be obedient. You must be obedient. Look down there at verse 17. Actually, it's in verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." So did you catch that one? What were they doing there? they were being obedient, weren't they? They were told by Jesus to go to this certain mountain in Galilee. Now, did they go to a certain mountain in Jerusalem? No. Did they go to a certain place in Beersheba, down in the south? No. Did they go to somewhere up in the north, to Dan? No. They went to a mountain in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. They obeyed. A simple command that they obeyed. So the second prerequisite is that you got to be continuing your faith if you want to fulfill the Great Commission, and you got to be obedient. You got to be obedient. Since they were faithful with little things, the Lord then gave them much, right? They obeyed this little command just to go to a mountain, as Jesus had told them to do. And he gave them the greatest responsibility of all time, to go and make disciples. They were just a band of small people who obeyed the Lord Jesus' simple command to meet them on a mountain in Galilee. And they received the Great Commission, and not just the Great Commission, but a promise. A promise of victory. Lo, I am with you even till the end of the age. Now, I want to talk to you about something. I've been here about 4 months. And in various settings, I've heard this refrain. It's just, you're worried about the younger generation. You're worried about the younger generation being faithful. It's not from one person. I've heard it from several people in different venues. And let me tell you this, Heather Hills. If we are faithful with the little things, God will give us much. If we're faithful to go deep in His Word, if we're faithful to cut it straight, to get His Word right, and we're faithful to worship God in spirit and truth, then He is going to take care of the great things. So let's be faithful with the little things, the obedience, the continuing in our faith, spiritual development, and God will give us much. He will do it. He will do it. So you don't have to worry. But if we're continuing, if we're obedient, then God is going to fulfill the Great Commission through us. If we're faithful in those little things, like I said, like discipleship, spiritual development, then God will give us much. You know, and it's not just going to be fruit that we just kind of hang on the tree or we tie on the tree. It's going to be real fruit. As we're faithful with those little things, it's going to be real fruit that will remain. And it's not going to cut and run at the first sign of turmoil. It's going to be great fruit. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. Let's be faithful in those little things. Let's be faithful in sharing the gospel with our neighbors. Let's be faithful in focusing on our spiritual development and building up and taking care of the sheep that we have here. And then we'll prove ourselves worthy that God will bring more sheep. God is looking for a place that He can send sheep. But we've got to prove ourselves worthy in the little things. We've got to be obedient if we want to fulfill the Great Commission. It's kind of like I tell my children. From time to time, they are not satisfied with the level of freedom that they have. And they want more freedom. And I say, well, if you want more freedom, then you got to show me that you're doing good with the freedom that you already have. I mean, why would I give you more freedom if you're just going to make more poor choices? Why would I want to multiply the poor choices? And that's kind of like how it is with us. We need to... With our freedom, with the Great Commission, with discipleship, we need to prove worthy in those little things so that God will give us much. God will give us much if we do that. It says in John 15:5 and then verse 10, it says, I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then in verse 10 it says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. So you see there the faithfulness in little things, in abiding and obeying the word of God. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:16. He says, "Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." So what is he saying here? He's saying that if you watch the way you live and the things you believe, you're going to reap a harvest of disciples. So in other words, obedience is a prerequisite to fulfilling the Great Commission. So let me ask you today, how is your level of obedience? Where are you at with that? Are you being faithful in the small things? The Word of God, prayer, little eyes watching what you see, little ears watching what you hear. If you want to see the blessing of God in the Great Commission, then it requires obedience in the small things. So we have continuing is a prerequisite to fulfilling the Great Commission. You got to be continuing. If you don't continue, you prove that you have false faith and you'll never make a disciple of Christ. Secondly, you got to be obedient. If you're not obedient, then God's not going to bless your life and multiply the disciples after you. Well, and thirdly, you must be part of a Christ-worshiping community. You must be part of a Christ-worshiping community. Let's look down at the verse there again. In verse 17, it says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." I want you to notice the connection there of worship and the Great Commission. Pastor Brian talked about that last week, how worship is the fuel for mission's flame. And it was in the context, basically, here on the mountain, of a worship service. They're worshiping the Lord, where they get this Great Commission. They get this wonderful commandment. See, Christ had kind of, you know, he's in control of everything, right? He had designed this meeting to begin with worship. He knew that they would be in wonder and awe of his resurrection and his power. Literally, the word there in the Greek for worship is to prostrate oneself. Proskuneo, to prostrate, to bow down before the Lord. The disciples bow down in worship as they saw the risen Lord. I mean, can you imagine this scene? It's in Galilee, and I've been to Israel, I've been to the Sea of Galilee, and there's a mountain right on the southwest portion called Mount Arbel. And if you're up on top of Mount Arbel, you can see all over the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan Valley going down. And it's beautiful. And I'm thinking that maybe this is the place where Jesus said for his disciples to meet him up on Mount Arbel, looking over the whole Sea of Galilee and surveying the land, just being in that wonderful atmosphere. And then him showing up among them and them being in worship and awe of who he is, his resurrection power, his wonderful person, him being God and Savior. And this put them in the right frame of reference to receive the Great Commission. See, they were worshiping, and they were put in the right frame of reference so that they could receive the Great Commission, and it would take root and take hold in their lives. It'd kind of be like, Think of somebody you really, really respect. You know, you really, really respect this person. If you were going to go talk with them, and you know, famous athlete or somebody, president, politician, somebody just you really respect, and you would be in awe of that person. Well, let's say you went up to them, and you're about to say something, and that person said, "Oh, hey, you know what? Could you go do something for me? Could you go do this for me?" If that were the case, wouldn't you, what would you say? You would say, "Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll do anything for you. Great, it's a privilege. Wow, you're this person I respect. I was coming to talk to you, but you've asked me to do something." So see, they were in the right frame of reference when they were worshiping. And when we worship the Lord, we're in the right frame of reference to fulfill His Great Commission. So you want to increase your fulfillment of the Great Commission? Then focus your worship, focus on your worship of Christ. Increase your worship of Christ. Notice also there that it says, but some doubted. Does that seem kind of like a phrase that's out of place? In this great scene, the risen Lord, they're worshiping Him, but some doubted. It seems kind of odd and out of place, doesn't it? But let me tell you, this is why I love the Word of God. Because if man would have written the Word of God, if man would have written this, that would have been edited out, right? You'd say, oh, well, that didn't fit. I'll just take that out. That didn't fit in there. But this proves that the Bible is the Word of God, that it's honest like that. That they were worshiping, but some doubted. That is a proof that the Bible is the Word of God. It's not afraid to say what is true. Hey, let's face it, folks. On our best days, you and me, our worship is riddled with doubt, is it not? Or do you have everything figured out? Anybody got everything figured out here? You don't have any doubts, huh? No, that's not the case. We all struggle. We all doubt. And the Word of God is just saying that, you know what? There were some that doubted, but Christ is going to come and He's going to alleviate that doubt. What was important is that they were worshiping. They were worshiping. And it's important for us to worship, even despite our doubts. If you have doubts, that's okay. Worship the Lord. Worship Him for who He is and what He has done. But you do want to make sure you take care of those doubts and seek out the answers to any of your questions. But don't let that stop you, if you're a believer, from worshiping the Lord. They were there and they were able to worship. And then they received the Great Commission. So that's proof that the Word of God is the Word of God. Well, what are we to make of this? What are we to make of this? And how are you doing? How are you doing, Heather Hills? Do you want to fulfill the Great Commission? You want to see people be made disciples? Then frankly, it begins right here, every Sunday. First day of the week. If you want to make disciples, you want to be faithful in fulfilling the Great Commission, it starts every Sunday morning. Worshiping the Lord, kicking off your week with worship of Christ. And then it proceeds into the whole week. That's a prerequisite to fulfilling the Great Commission. These disciples, they would have never been able to fulfill the Great Commission unless they were worshipers of Christ. Well, we've seen three prerequisites to fulfilling the Great Commission. First, you must be continuing. Not continuing, you're not going to make any disciples. Second, you got to be obedient. If you're not obedient, the Lord can't use you. You will never make disciples. Then, thirdly, you must be worshiping. You must be a worshiper of Christ. And really, frankly, what this all boils down to is the fact that you must be a disciple of Christ to make disciples. That's really all I'm talking about here. That's really all I'm encouraging you to do. That's really why I'm here, period. Is to make sure that we are disciples of Christ. That we are developing spiritually and focusing on discipleship. And like I said, as we do that, as we focus on our own walks with the Lord, as we focus on eradicating sin for our lives, in our lives, as we focus on going deep in God's Word, I am absolutely positive that the Lord is going to add to this body. I know that you want to see growth. I know that you want to see people come here and know the Lord. But our responsibility is to first and foremost be disciples of Christ and take care of the sheep that we have here. Love one another. Practice the one another's. Confront one another when we're in sin. Encourage one another. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. Pastor and Brian and I were having a conversation about that today. That word, provoking one another to love and good deeds, you know what a translation of that is? It's irritate. Irritate one another to love and good deeds. It's get under each other's skin to love and good deeds. And as we do that, we're going to prove ourselves faithful in little things. And I believe God is going to do great things. He will bring His sheep here because He knows that this place is a place that's going to take care of sheep and develop sheep and care about their growth and commitment. So that's really all we're talking about. If we want to fulfill the Great Commission, we just have to be disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, following with all our might. It's kind of like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. If you want others to follow Christ, then you got to be following hard after Christ. If you're following hard after Christ, that energy is going to be seen by others, and it's going to be used by God to fulfill the Great Commission. So my encouragement to you this morning is to fan into flame the full arsenal of following Christ, continuing, being obedient, and worshiping Christ, going hard after God, and He will then cause the Great Commission to be fulfilled.